Welcome back. My name is Cedric Jungelman.
I'm Paul Tarantino.
And this is Bitcoin Center, brought to you by Byte Federal. Go bank yourself. Buy Bitcoin. And put it in. All right. Amazon. Bitcoin topped Amazon when it hit around 122, 123 to become the fifth largest asset in the world. Is it going to dethrone Apple anytime soon at number four?
Eventually, it'll all be dethroned. I don't know how fast this is going to happen, but I do think that framing it against a stock, framing Bitcoin against Amazon or Apple or anything like that is not doing it justice, because against global currencies, it's the 11th largest currency in the world. So I don't like the idea of comparing Bitcoin to a stock. It doesn't have a, you know, it doesn't have a board of directors, it doesn't have a CEO, it doesn't have employees, it doesn't have staff. It has volunteers running the network, and it's money for the people. So
I love framing it against a stock for no coiners. Yeah, I think it's very helpful for me to understand the size of this thing, the growth of this thing. I think it would kind of point out to me.
Impressive than Amazon.
It is, of course. I mean, but it's that's not the tip of the iceberg. But I think in terms of how to frame this thing, or how to kind of like beachhead it as an idea in people's minds.
I don't like people thinking about it as an asset.
I get that. Well, it is an asset.
Money's money.
Sure, I get that. But if you say, okay, it's money, but it's now bigger than Amazon. It's not something that's going to go away or flitter and be gone. And I think it kind of helps like people like really understand
that. Yeah, but I guess, you know, companies and money persist for different reasons. And so
totally.
I think it's missing the point as to why Bitcoin is so valuable, why it's so important for society, why it's so unique and different than anything that's ever existed. So I just don't like, I think when a newbie or, you know, someone new to Bitcoin starts thinking of it in terms of like, it is an investment like Amazon, Apple, then they're not doing the research. They're missing the point.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people though, they think about FANG, the Magnificent Seven. So like, wow, this is bigger than some of the FANG companies. Like,
yeah.
If I have a portfolio based on FANG, like, how do I not have this in there?
And it shouldn't be thought of as.
Right. But it's a great way to frame it up. Let's go to the next one.
All right. So Max Keiser predicted that when Bitcoin hit 400,000, that the government could intervene. So the question is, will the government crack down on Bitcoin?
I don't think it's just about cracking down. I think this is about taking your Bitcoin. I think this is about government intervention, like Executive Order 6102. And I love that. If that's what Max is getting, I love that he's bringing this up. Everyone's been rah-rah. And I think that there is an aspect of hyper-Bitcoinization and a speculative attack here. But the government could come and take that all away from you. And you wake up, you don't have the exposure to Bitcoin that you thought you did. Yeah, it's a security if you're investing in these companies, but still, the government could come in and take away the Bitcoin.
Yeah. You need to have your private keys.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times has that been said, right? So they're going to take the low-hanging fruit first. And those of us that hold it in self-custody, hold it under multi-sig, maybe hold it in jurisdictions that are more favorable to Bitcoin, we're going to still have it, and it's still going to be valuable. They're not taking it to kill the value. They'd be taking it because it's valuable.
Yeah, sure. But leaving you with, you know, maybe they give you the money in fiat terms.
Yeah, and buy you out. Just like 6102. It's, you know, we had real money. We had a constitution that said that you could trade in gold, and that gold was money, and they took it from everybody.
You know, and Max named names here. He talked about MicroStrategy, Coinbase, Marathon, and Riot as being subjected to, you know, potential seizures in the going forward.
I think the miners are a major risk.
Yeah, and they're especially their hash power.
Yeah.
Both in the AI and in hash war world.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go to the next one. You read this one. To me.
No, you read it.
Man, I always get that wrong. All right. Bitcoin's recent rally has or hasn't been driven by hype nor by money printing yet. Is this the most exciting bull run ever?
Not for me. No, it's not. I don't, you know, it's not that exciting. It just seems like it, everything is moving in these just long, slow, arduous climb. So, you know, is it the most exciting bull run? The numbers are big. The news is big. The volatility is not big.
Well, maybe phrase it differently. Could we be at the precipice of the most exciting bull run ever? I came in late 2017.
I've been listening to that all year.
And I, well, but we're still early in the limited basis of samples that we've had. We're early in that cycle. When the next 6 months are supposed to be the banana zone. The groundwork has been laid. I came in September, October, November of 2017. And that period of time was the most frenetic,
maybe I'm
fervor
just,
that I've ever seen in almost any market. You know, it was nuts. I've never seen anything like that since in Bitcoin.
Because that was fully retail driven.
And I don't think retail is coming back, but maybe the corporate fervor this fall and winter is 10 times that. I mean, had people betting in the shitcoin casino. Some of those shitcoins did better than Bitcoin. And that was retail driven. And Wall Street has way more money than
I think everybody who's crypto retail ever did. Everybody who's getting involved now is a pretty sophisticated trader.
I think,
you know, they're hedging, they're doing all sorts of options and futures overlay of spot Bitcoin, and it's creating this more methodical market where, like in 2017, 18, it was just mayhem. It was just retail just smash buying out of panic mode because we thought it was going to 100K back then. And
wait till corporations think it's going to a million this time. I'm getting bullish.
At the end of the day, it's whatever is what is the CAGR? If the CAGR persists,
sure,
it's all going to be good.
Compound annual growth rate. Let's go on to the next one.
Trump admin is about to release a Bitcoin report on July 22nd, something akin to sort of their plan maybe for buying. Do you think it will include Senator Lummis's 1 million Bitcoin on the balance sheet?
Well, this is a report, right? So whether it includes, it's just a proposal and commentary. I really don't care if it includes the proposal to buy 1 million Bitcoin. I mean, they've been talking a lot. I think it's a lot of hot air. No, it doesn't matter.
Everything
to me
has been hot air.
Yeah, around this topic. And I'm kind of glad. I don't want to see the government buy Bitcoin.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't.
Why?
I just don't like it.
You prefer the treasuries.
I mean, that's today. I could feel completely different
the
tomorrow.
The treasuries persist. Going back to all these other questions, if it's on the government's balance sheet, if it's a strategic reserve, and if they start using it to support treasuries, if they start using it to support financialization of the markets, the more and more that gets embedded, I think the less likely a 6102 is.
I agree with that.
If Bitcoin rips to 400,000 and they don't have any, we're probably going to get it confiscated.
I get where you're getting at. Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. Either way, that's the government ending up with a lot of Bitcoin, very centralized. Yeah. Not a great scenario, maybe.
Not a great scenario. Centralized, it's also, but it will limit their ability, maybe. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I think them being able to sell their stable coins is enough for me. I would like to see the smaller aspects of government, state, and municipalities maybe buy Bitcoin. But again, like you said, if the national government doesn't, the federal, they'll just take that. So it's going to drift upwards. I don't think now is when I'm excited to see nation states race to adopt Bitcoin and drive the price up.
In order for this to all build the future of Bitcoin that we want, the treasury market needs to die. Because we need to kill the debt-based monetary system, because that will then limit the ability to print money out of thin air, because people are not going to be like, what? You're going to just give me more and more dollars on the Bitcoin? You're just like, what? Like, you're just going to print against the Bitcoin? No, thank you. I'll just keep the Bitcoin. because you're just going to destroy the value of the currency. When you when you're printing against a hard asset like Bitcoin, your dollar is just going to get crushed, and you're going to get massive inflation on goods priced in dollars. Right. So,
to be continued.
Yeah, to be continued. All right, you're up, buddy.
All right, the world is beginning to wake up to this simple truth. Bitcoin, not crypto. Do you agree? Is crypto finally dead?
Unfortunately, I don't think it's totally dead yet.
I don't think so. I
think, but it's definitely wounded hard, man. There's a lot of garbage out there that has just hit the mat. And in the coins, these shit coins that still persist, that everybody still talks about. I'm not even going to credit them with their own names. They've just been performing horribly in this market.
Are they up in fiat terms in this market?
A little bit.
Because I saw, I was watching.
Like, if you look at them against their all-time highs, mm-hmm. it's just continually down and to the right.
Well, I was watching a clip with Goldman Sachs, I think, on like one of these like news programs, and the tickers were some of these shitcoins, and it looked like they were up, but at least in dollar terms.
Like, if you look within the last couple of months, there's this, everyone's talking about the altcoin season is finally here. Fine. The main thing is I don't think they're going to go make all-time highs again.
Right. I saw Scott Melker in a clip.
The only thing I've heard that's like maybe it, is going to support something like Ethereum is the amount of stablecoin interest in the world these days.
I think so.
And that could support Ethereum. But who wants to transact stablecoins on Ethereum anyways? Who wants to pay those fees?
And it looks like Rumble wants to use Tron. We'll get to that. Let's put a bubble or pin in it there. Let's head off to the lightning round.
All right, lightning round. So the Smarter Web Company added 275 Bitcoin to their strategic reserve. Do you think that small tech companies are going to lead the Bitcoin charge going forward?
I think that I'm starting to believe that this is hyper Bitcoinization. These Bitcoin treasury companies are, they have the corporation has access to debt markets that normal people, regular people don't have. And if they can acquire enough people, I'm starting to see this play.
So a lot that doesn't of people mean they all will not pan really, out, but you think a lot of the population won't own Bitcoin? Just own shares in companies.
I hope that's not the way it goes, but I think there's this phase where these companies are going to acquire Bitcoin using debt. Let's read a little bit about this Smarter Web Company.
Go ahead.
They added 275 Bitcoin to its strategic Bitcoin treasury. It's purchased an additional 275 as part of its 10-year plan. This is interesting. They've been in this business for 3 months. They have a 10-year plan. This brings the company's total holdings to 1,275 Bitcoin, valued at over 100 million pounds. The average price of their latest purchase was around 80,000 pounds. And the company reports a 31,000 year-to-date Bitcoin yield on its treasury and a 30-day yield of 500%. Since 2023, the Smarter Web Company has adopted a policy of accepting payment in Bitcoin. The company believes Bitcoin forms a core part of the future of the global financial system, and as the company explores opportunities through organic growth and corporate acquisitions, is pioneering the adoption of Bitcoin. And the reason I bring that up is they're in web development and other marketing services.
Yeah.
So there's an opportunity here for them to roll out rails for Lightning to acquire Bitcoin-focused and native companies. It's really going to be interesting how these companies go out, seek capital, deploy it into Bitcoin, and then what else they may or may not do. The whole idea of just acquiring Bitcoin, maybe that's like a 10-year phase during hyper-Bitcoinization. But what do these companies do with the head start?
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see if they can embed it purchases into, Lightning purchases right into their advertising and marketing campaigns or
rewards, sats for rewards, all different types of things.
That's super interesting.
Even just building websites for Bitcoin companies, could be a way to keep operating cash flow to buy
these companies need to start paying like Bitcoin dividends to the shareholders or something. We got, because there's the issue here is that eventually, if all the corporates own the Bitcoin, then people don't have it as money.
Well, so there's maybe these are incremental improvements to sort of the traditional markets or financial structure. So eventually, they have to pay Bitcoin dividends or sats flow. But first, they have to have cash flow, operating cash flow, and build up their reserves. And then the other groundwork there. Let's head to the other one. This is the lightning round.
You're up.
Okay, Bhutan. They sold some Bitcoin, I guess, probably like 60 million or something. What'd you think of this?
They earn their Bitcoin by mining. So this doesn't seem out of place, right? Miners do have to pay bills. They do have to replace equipment. They have salaries. There's expenses against mining that Bitcoin. I don't know if this is the first time. I don't think it's also the first time they've ever sold Bitcoin. I think they have sold in the past. So this seems to be more like a mining operation than we're giving up on the Bitcoin reserve or we're going to start selling the top. I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Are they trying to pay the bills?
When I called my people in Bhutan,
they don't got $59 million in cash to pay the bills, but keep the Bitcoin. Or maybe they're buying miners. You never know what's going on with this stuff.
You never know.
You know. Exactly. All right, let's go to the next one.
Bitcoin overtakes gold as the best performing asset of 2025 with an annual gain surge of 30%. Has Bitcoin permanently flipped gold?
Well, no. Let's clarify here. Bitcoin's at like a $2.5 trillion asset, and class and gold questions? Is like we're not going to throw Francis under the bus. and gold is what, like $20 trillion. But I think this speak and gold's been ripping, and so gold will continue to grow. I think gold will probably perform, second or third to Bitcoin in upward movements of these asset classes.
I mean,
so
I guess
no, it's not permanent.
You could read it anyway, right? Like it flipped gold this year in regards to performance.
Yes, yeah, totally.
It outperformed gold. It hasn't flipped gold in regards to market cap. Will it flip market cap in the future? For sure. Will it far exceed 30% annually for the next decade? Probably. So,
I mean, I was trying to think through it. I mean, even if Bitcoin did a 10x from here in the next 6 to 9 months, it would be hard to flip gold because gold will also probably perform well. No, but even gold during those 6 to 9 months might do another 10, 20, 30% in market cap.
But if Bitcoin does a 10x, it's harder to push a $20 trillion asset.
Sure, right? But it could be a $25 trillion asset by the time Bitcoin does a
7x. I think the only way gold outperforms Bitcoin is if there's a revaluation of gold overnight, but revaluation.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the next one. This one. Michael Saylor Strategy now owns over 600,000 Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Close to 3% of all Bitcoins. When do we get a strategy bank or some other approach or use? Yeah. When?
Oh.
If when?
If the government doesn't seize his Bitcoin, and when would be, I'll give you a guesstimate. I'm guessing post 2027, coming out of the 2027 recession.
If we're talking about it, you wonder if Michael Saylor thinks like, oh, could the government the government take my Bitcoin? What could I do as a corporate citizen to prevent that?
It's not a bank in the traditional terms, right? It's more like a Goldman Sachs. It's more like an investment bank.
Mm.
I mean, that's the play, I think.
And deploy
capital.
He's
not going to go get a banking license.
No,
the Fed's not going to give him a bank.
Yeah, but he could partner with a bank or another entity or buy one.
I think it's going to be more strategic in that, and it's going to be more financialized products.
Do you think they'll buy a Bitcoin treasury company?
I mean, he's already helping through his partnership with Bitcoin for Corporations, or his advisory of them. He's already setting himself up to be like the investment bank for, but Cantor's doing the same thing, right? So. Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about them.
Who knows? Maybe there'll be a little more in the future. Satoshi Nakamoto is about to pass Warren Buffett in regards to becoming the 10th wealthiest person in the world. And do you think that Satoshi will be ranked on Forbes?
Oh, no, I don't think they'll rank Satoshi on Forbes for a very long time. I think that'd be a hard. One, it's hard to, validate his wealth.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of Forbes. Yeah, or existence. I think that would be part of Forbes' approach and denial of the situation. But I similar to the top of the show with Amazon, it's like we don't know if Satoshi has ever mined these coins, ever held these, still has access to these coins, if Satoshi's alive. But watching Satoshi pass Michael Dell is, I think, interesting to note and an interesting A-B test on the world. Why is this person the creator of this thing now worth more of this person, the, you know, the entrepreneurial genius behind Dell Computers? Mm-hmm. And it also shows, you know, Satoshi's effect on the world, that the Bitcoin network is having a greater effect than Dell Computers, and soon to be a greater effect than Berkshire Hathaway, at least. And I think Warren Buffett's a very significant name. I can't wait for him to pass Warren Buffett. What do you make of all this?
I don't know. I'm not that interested in it. I like Satoshi. I like Bitcoin. I like the idea. I don't like comparing it to companies. I don't care about who the wealthiest man in the world is.
I like it from, like, if I'm not in Bitcoin circles and I'm at that family barbecue. And I think that's a fun time to throw around.
You presume
I
go to family barbecue.
I don't even go to family barbecue. They won't allow me. But if I was there, I would tell them that Satoshi's almost worth as much as Warren Buffett.
Right. All right. Jack Dorsey unveils BitChat, which is a new Bluetooth-based messaging app, right? So no internet required. It's the messages are sent peer-to-peer. Will BitChat...
That's not the one we're talking about, Rumble here.
Ah, it's my turn.
My bad.
No worries. Rumble partnered with MoonPay.
Yeah, yeah.
To launch the Rumble wallet.
Yeah, yeah.
Enabling 58 million users to buy and sell Bitcoin directly. Does this change the media content game?
I mean, of course, right? So I think this is, this goes back to the other company we were just talking about. They're going to allow payments, tips. They're going to allow creators to monetize themselves directly to the customers. So I think that's pretty awesome. I think you're going to see it at X. You're going to see it everywhere. It's all good.
But I didn't see it in what Francis just shared. By the way, Francis writes great questions. But what isn't Tron a part of this deal somehow? I saw that Tron was a part of this somehow, some way. And that kind of irks Tether. Me a little bit, but
maybe
I hope
they may be moving Tether on Tron.
Right. So I think that's sort of like also back to this, you know, crypto or altcoin season. I think these sorts of deals that include Tron will still lead to percolations in the altcoin market. And maybe it won't be as big as before, but I still think we'll have alt season hoping for it.
Well, this is the whole thing, is like this, all these stablecoin rails have got to move on something. I mean, these stablecoins have got to move on something. And this battle between Tron, Ethereum, Liquid, but we're going to get Lightning.
Yeah, that's where I think
we're going to get migrate USDT to. On Lightning. That's going to be the game changer. It'll be up to MoonPay to update this stuff. I think Tron is obviously going to publish the fact that they're going to be about something, you know, involved in this. But I don't see how these alternative chains make it against assets on Lightning. I don't see how it works.
But I like what Rumble's trying to do to try to get payments to creators in sats. I do hope that catches on and people more go to Rumble. All right.
Back to Jack Dorsey's BitChat, the peer-to-peer messaging app over Bluetooth. Do you think this is going to take off?
No, I don't think this is going to take off. No, I don't. This seems a little bit complicated. It seems like a hacker tool. This seems a little bit like...
You don't think he's going to make it the UI...
Well, I think
something that the average person
I think it remains to be seen. This requires it just seems a little bit newfangled to me, not user friendly. There's still bugs and privacy issues. So I don't know. I think this has a ways to go. The way, you know, even the Square, that device didn't take off the way, I had hoped. He still has to enable Lightning and all this stuff.
I like that. I like where his mind's at, though.
I like that he's trying to develop these tools that don't rely on the internet.
He's trying to push new things.
Yeah.
BitKey, BitChat. I mean, I really like everything that they're doing over there. I think as far as like a publicly traded company building out things that actually are Bitcoin centric, you kind of applaud their effort.
Yeah, I think this is great. I think this is sort of Mad Max times type stuff, though, at this phase. Mm-hmm. Who reads this one? Do I read this one?
Yeah, it's you, buddy.
Trump says U.S. interest rate is at least 3 points too high. Is Trump weaponizing the Fed in his second term?
We've been talking about this, I think, for every episode. Trump is desperate need of lower interest rates so that he can suppress the Treasury interest while he tries to pump GDP with money printing. Right. This is the this has been the end game all along. He's ready to execute the end game. Jerome's not letting him have it. So he's going to do everything he can to torture this guy into submission.
I think it's hysterical. I think it's actually as honest and transparent as the president has been around what works for kind of getting reelected and the economy from sort of like this few people can decide what happens standpoint. I thought it was hysterical. He sent that letter to, I think, Powell that outlined how much each country is paying in their interest rates and circling things. He's
like,
got
like Powell cares.
Yeah. Well, he's got Bill Pulte, the head of the FHA, yelling at him on Twitter.
We talked about that last show. It's just like he's just they've got $9 trillion that's being refinanced at a higher interest rate. That's crushing. It's crushing the growth for the United States. He needs rates lower.
Can he get Powell to resign? You think he's going to get Powell to resign?
I don't think so.
If he got Powell to resign and he could go appoint someone else, could he appoint someone that the banks don't like and get that through?
He's not appointing anybody.
But if Powell were to resign?
He gets to appoint.
It's an appointed job, right? No, I guess not. It's not. Isn't that something that both presidents?
The Congress can grill them and question them, but I don't think that. Ask Grok, man.
All right, let's move on.
I don't think he can fully appoint somebody. Portnoy, they should have bought Bitcoin. No shit, Dave. Will skeptics ever learn the lesson?
Will Portnoy ever learn the lesson?
No.
Portnoy trades too much and talks about it a lot for someone who claims to be as rich as he is, though.
Knucklehead.
Don't you think he like cares too much?
I think he just does this like, for the publicity. I just, you know, he needs something to complain about. I'm such so stupid. I'm so smart. I'm so like, oh my God, this guy's so annoying.
I mean, it seems like almost like an act, a shtick. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a shtick.
But he's had Saylor come to his house. I think he's had the Winklevi twins come to his house. He should understand by now.
And Winklevi can't orange pill you in person.
Maybe he owns a bunch of Bitcoin. We don't know. And like you said, it's engagement farming.
Yeah, maybe it is. It probably is.
He's a little too excited to share these fuck-ups.
All right.
Can El Salvador push more nation-state adoption? El Salvador's Bitcoin reserve is now worth north of $700 million.
Mm-hmm.
What is this signal? Is this a
push more nation state adoption? I mean, I've been to El Salvador a few times. I think to get more nation state adoption, they need to grow the wealth of their citizens, right? I mean, this is sort of the bottom line. There's still a large percentage. I think the last time I was there, they were telling me like 70% of the population is still basically unbanked, still living hand to mouth, trading, in their little markets and whatnot. If they don't have savings, they're not able to function with a volatile currency like Bitcoin. So they need savings. They need to be able to execute trade in a stable coin, save in Bitcoin, and then they're going to get more wealth in the country and they'll get more Bitcoin adoption. So I think from here going forward for Naib, it's all about building the country, creating jobs, creating prosperity, so that people can then accelerate that through Bitcoin adoption.
I don't think this pushes nation state adoption that much or signals much. I'm not that well versed in nation state economics and balance sheets, but $700 million in Bitcoin doesn't sound like a lot when Bhutan has twice that. I mean, Bitcoin could go to 200K and El Salvador wouldn't have as much as Bhutan. Ukraine, which is going through like World War III right now on its own, has tens of thousands of Bitcoin. So it just doesn't sound like a lot. I don't think this signals much to other nations.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin could 10x and they'd have $7 billion on their balance sheet, and I don't think they could pay off the IMF. I mean, I don't think it says a lot. I don't know if you want to round that one out or just go to the next one. Let's set up the next one.
So there are now 100 to 1,000 Bitcoin in control, or sorry, wallets between, what did you write here? Wallets holding between 100 and 1,000 Bitcoin now control 4.76 million BTC. Okay, I get it. That's up from 3.9 million a year ago. So the question becomes, is retail too late? Is this just moving to large purchasers?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, these are huge wallets, hundreds of thousand Bitcoin. I don't think retail's, I mean, I think really smart retail's here through the ETFs. Let's not ignore that. That's retail money. Mm-hmm. I think there's very smart money in there, but I don't think retail's here like it was, that might be a greater aggregate sum of money than was here in 2017, but I don't think we have retail here where the people that are just trying to figure out like how they 10x or 100x their money in a short period of time and they're really excited about this. Right. I don't think they're here. I don't think they're coming back, not at 110, 115,000 a coin. I think the fervor will be driven by corporations. So I'm not excited about this growth in these mid-sized wallets.
I mean, it's great that we're getting this corporate adoption, sovereign adoption, but you know, find me an asset that's growing at 45% a year.
I don't know why people are ignoring this.
It doesn't matter if you put 10,000 in it or 10 million in it,
or $1,
it's growing at 45% a year. Tell me where you can do that passively, where you can buy something
without repairs, maintenance, go to work, depreciation,
you know, feed your family, educate your kids, and earn 45% a year with your extra money.
Yeah.
Like, I come on, retail, wake up.
No, this they're not. I don't think they're waking up. I don't think they're coming back.
To me.
I don't think they're interested at all. I think they will come back when they sit down for their yearly review of their 401ks 4 years from now, and their advisor is like, you should have 3% in this. and I think that... Right. I just don't think retail
could have had it the whole time.
Yeah, I don't think 10x is exciting to retail right now. Even a 10x, yeah. And anything, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's not happening. I mean, this has been another awesome rip, Paul, of Bitcoin Center, brought to you by Bite Federal. Go bank yourself. You want to round out the retail thing? I don't know if Francis has any Q&A for us.
We got one for me.
All right, let's do it. Before you ask, I know retail, you know what though, when Strategy becomes part of the S&P 500 and other Bitcoin treasury companies become part of the S&P 500, retail will get some access to Bitcoin that way, or at least spot exposure, price exposure, not the qualities of Bitcoin. Sorry to cut you off, Francis. Let's do it. William Clark writes, and I think retail is still sleeping on it. I've been trying for years. Yeah, I almost feel like the more I try, the retail goes away. Like I go up to friends and family, like, you guys interested in Bitcoin? It's like I'm permanently scaring them away from Bitcoin forever.
Maybe it's our fault.
It's all of us are trying to go out there and talk about it.
Cantor is nearing a $4 billion SPAC deal with Adam Back to buy 30,000 plus Bitcoin.
Dude.
I'm getting mixed. The stuff I read online is a little different than this. So I don't really know what's going on. I heard Adam might be putting
the 30,000 Bitcoin in it.
That's amazing for Adam. That's insane. Like, how much dude's got some Bitcoin? But it says, you know, this quote said to buy 30,000. So I don't know quite.
No, they're buying it from him. They're buying it from him.
And he's going to leverage it into more Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I think Adam is just fed up with Bitcoin being at $100,000 when he thinks it's worth $1 million. Like, he's like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to have to just pull my coins out of cold storage and I'm going to have to leverage this stuff in Wall Street to just.
Well, it's a pretty sweet funnel. I mean, he gets to put in his low cost basis Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
Right. He doesn't have to sell it. He probably gets access to some funds or some shares.
Is it not considered a sale if he's getting shares?
I would hope for him it's not considered a sale.
Right.
And then the company gets to then go securitize it at an MNAV premium. And then that entity and those investors get to go raise debt and hopefully low price debt and go.
I mean, Cantor's do becoming their thing. The Goldman Sachs of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Not well, Michael, not Strategy. I mean, Cantor's.
Well, they're trying to catch up. I mean, they're probably at like close to 100,000 Bitcoin now between this 30,000 and 40,000. They're slinging into 21 Capital with Mahlers. They're working with Tether, which is like just a printing machine.
Yeah. I mean, so. It's just, it's going to be wild to watch what Cantor does.
No, they're also working with SoftBank. Now, isn't that basically the Chinese government?
I don't know.
I don't know how that works, but like that's an interesting
SoftBank is Japanese.
Or so is that like basically an arm of the Japanese government?
Well, which
and I'm going to get slammed in the comments
like
there.
That's like our biggest ally. So
yeah, that's true. They do a lot on our behalf, it seems like. It seems like they're a monetary colony with the way they've kind of done the yen trade for us.
I mean,
I did want to.
Did they have a choice?
Did they have a choice? Well, that's what a colony doesn't usually have a choice. No, so, like, whether they feel they have a choice or not, or wanted to make the same decision on their own based on some sort of merit. You know, the arbitrage opportunity in Japan seems to be wild. I want to have Michael Sullivan on the show. He's doing a little father duty tonight, but hopefully he can come on next week and talk about the.
Yeah, if you guys want us to get another guest on the show, send us some recommendations.
Yeah, for sure. Or volunteer yourself.
Yeah,
or volunteer. Let me know. Let us know what you want to talk about and come on. This is Bitcoin Center, episode 11. Thank you for joining us. Thanks, as guys. Always, Cedric Youngelman.
Paul Tarantino. Thank you.
Brought to you by Byte Federal. Go bank yourself. Francis, roll out. No, we didn't have the batter though. It's like